Our scripture readings today is going to be from Acts 19, 1 through 2. And it happened while Apollos was in Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit."
Good morning. It's good to see each of you here this morning. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful spring day. We are mindful about Sister Linda and her injuries. Hopefully nothing serious. We'll be in prayer for her. We'll try to update when we find out more. We have several here who are visiting, and you honor us by being here. We'll pray that you'll leave here encouraged in your walk with the Lord. And if you're looking for a family to make your own, as Chris said, we'd love to have you be a part of us. I promise you, we are imperfect people that serve as perfect Savior, and so. But we are honored that you're here. Many of you have been coming back for some time, so we you are really an encouragement to us. Today we'll end our series of lessons on the church at Ephesus. Eric and I have been preaching for 3 months on this. Brother Willie Mosley will be here next Sunday. Willie's the uncle of Brad and Steve. He preaches the Quatchie Valley Church of Christ. And so he'll be our guest speaker next Sunday. And as mentioned earlier, we will have a fellowship meal immediately following in the fellowship hall and no evening service on the fifth Sunday. So we encourage you to be here. Invite others as well. Just a really good time of fellowship. Also this evening, we'll start serving at 5. We do have a community outreach meal, and so we've got it on social media. Several flyers were printed, and they've been posted at different places. But your personal invitation is probably the best. We do probably need some more soup, if you'd like to sign up to bring some soup this evening. But there is a sign-up sheet for what you can commit to bring this evening. It's a special time. So we have time for fellowship with another, but also time to reach out and meet people in our community. This morning, as you see, we're going to be talking about the Church of Ephesus and the Holy Spirit. I've been a Christian since I was 12 years old, grew up in church, and heard this Holy Spirit reference from time to time, but not a lot of formal teaching and preaching on the Holy Spirit. We usually spoke it over someone at baptism, and the baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I even saw solemnize in wedding ceremonies in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, acknowledging that union, but not a lot beyond that. And so this morning is trying to look at this very prominent church in the Bible. As mentioned, I've been church for a little while in my life, and there's a lot of really prominent things in scriptures, but one of the things that I'd sort of missed out on was how integral the church at Ephesus was in New Testament Christianity. I believe after the fall of Jerusalem, I believe that became one of the powerhouse churches. In fact, in the book Revelation, when Jesus addresses the seven churches, he starts out with the church at Ephesus. When we add the book of Ephesians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Acts chapter 19, which our text comes from this morning, we have a lot of scripture about the church at Ephesus. In fact, the more I've studied, the more I've spent time in this over the past several weeks, I'm almost convinced that Paul probably wrote 1 John from Ephesus. We know that historical records indicate that John was in the Isle of Patmos from the Bible. That was 60 miles from Ephesus. There's an ancient church there named after John, the apostle. And even there's a church not so far from the ancient ruins of Ephesus where Mary, the mother of Jesus, apparently had lived. And there's a community there recognizing her as having been part of that community. And, of course, from the cross, Jesus gave Mary's responsibility, her care, to John the apostle. So I really think it's important. I think I've enjoyed my preparation into this series and appreciate Eric's work and lessons as well. But this morning we're going to sort of look at it. Here in Acts chapter 19, it tells us that Paul was traveling through the region. He comes to Ephesus. He sees some disciples there, but they're not quite telling everything he knows about the gospel. And what's really interesting is that appeared to be an assembly of people, we might even call a church there, that fully didn't understand the whole gospel message. They just knew that John the Baptist was telling people about repentance and the coming of the Messiah. And they're apparently there, and they were preaching and teaching in that area. And the Paul says, something's missing from your message. And they said, what is it? And he says, well, what do you know about the Holy Spirit? And he says, well, is there such a thing? And so we're reading Acts chapter 19, and Paul said, yes, and he taught them, and they're baptized, and they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that was promised in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that all who believe and accept Jesus as their Savior, acknowledge Him as their Lord and Savior, being buried with Him in baptism, receive the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we understand that this is really important. And so in looking at this combination of Acts chapter 19, 1 and 2 Timothy, we did a little analysis. 10 times the Holy Spirit referenced. In those relatively short passages, 10 times the Holy Spirit is acknowledged and referenced in those areas. Of course, the one you just saw in Acts chapter 19, referenced there. So we're going to look this morning at how important this Holy Spirit is. So the first point this morning is I want you to realize that the Holy Spirit brings life to the church. The Holy Spirit is an indwelling gift of God that we see first in Genesis chapter 1 when God's Spirit was upon the face of the deep. The Holy Spirit was involved and witnessed to the creation that was referenced this morning at the Lord's table, bringing beauty out of chaos. To many churches, unfortunately today, like those early Ephesian believers, function without the full awareness of the Holy Spirit. They assemble week after week, Sunday after Sunday, and the Holy Spirit is hardly even referenced or mentioned. I think that's unfortunate because the Holy Spirit is always bent on spiritual growth to help you grow. I've been trying to clean up and order some things around my house and like to do a little gardening this year, and I found a whole bunch of seeds. Some of them are so old I don't think they're going to sprout, but some of them are not that old. But you know, they've done me no good in the packets, in the jar. I haven't got to the freezer yet. I've probably got seeds in the freezer there. They're several years old. Some of you relate to what I'm talking about. They do you no good whatsoever till you put them in the right soil and culture them and provide the right nutrients and nourishment. Then they can grow and develop. The Holy Spirit is somewhat like that. If you just keep it on the shelf, if you just keep it not part of your life, if you keep it not part of your language, if you just store it away someplace, you're not going to grow. You're not going to develop. Not to your full potential. Yeah, you may do your own efforts, but you're not going to grow to your full potential. You see, we can have good structure, we have good ministries, programs, and even some good preaching sometimes. Right, Eric? Amen. But without the Spirit, there is no power, no transformation, and no true spiritual life. It's easy to talk about, I'll be real honest, but it's really hard to explain. It's not within our full human comprehension as to how it works. Now, there are a few people here this morning that can tell you exactly how they got here and how that internal combustion engine got them here. I'm not one of them. But if I'd waited till I ever understood how to build and fix and make an internal combustion engine operate, I'd still be walking or riding a bicycle. I don't have to know how it fully works to understand how it operates. Same way with the Holy Spirit. We might not ever fully comprehend all the intricacies and power and potential of the Holy Spirit till we get to glory, but right now we can learn to trust it and let it be a part of our lives, in a part of our conversation, in a part of our faith. We can come up with a lot of good ideas as a church, but until we commit it to the work of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we may never fully realize our potential in reality. And reconnect and recommit over and over again to the awareness and the reality of this vital force in the life of a believer. The second point I want us to consider this morning is what Paul tells Timothy, that the Holy Spirit seals and secures the church. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 through 14, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is our guarantee of our inheritance. You ever thought you were getting a good deal on something, but you look at the fine print and there's no guarantee? It's sold as is. No returns. Buyer beware. You see, the Holy Spirit's not that. On the day you accepted Jesus your Savior, you acknowledged Him by the confession of your mouth and you're buried with Him in baptism, you receive the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit operates outside of that and trying to bring people to belief. John tells us that the Holy Spirit is here doing three things. Convict the world of righteousness, of sin, and the coming judgment. That's what Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to do in this world. So the Holy Spirit is actively involved in believers, but it's also in non-believers. Convict them of sin, of righteousness, and future judgment. And when someone makes an awareness that I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm not righteous. There's only one righteous, that's Jesus. And I know there's a judgment, and I'm outside of that judgment. Paul told the church at Corinth, no one can say that Jesus is Lord without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when that moment happens in your life, it's a very special moment. And I'm going to tell you right now, don't let it pass. Satan is coming in this world to steal, to rob, and destroy, and he will take that moment from you. He'll convince you you've got another opportunity, you've got more time, or you're not ready yet. And that's Satan working in your heart, in your life. When you reach that moment of conviction, that you know that Jesus is Lord, that you know that you are a sinner, and you know that you yourself are not righteous, and there's a judgment facing you, when you've reached that moment, it's time to act on that moment. Because there's something very special happening to you. God has allowed you to have an awareness of your spiritual condition. And it's time to do something about that. The Spirit assures us that we belong to God. In a world of uncertainty, identity, confusion, the Holy Spirit gives believers confidence in their standing with God and security in their internal future. There's a shift amongst our young people today, and it's really surprising. And I can't help but believe that God's behind it. It says the emerging generation of young people are the most conservative political group of people in generations. And it's scaring some people to death. But I think people got sick of a lot of stuff they were hearing and seeing. And now they're saying, it can't be that way. There must be a right way and a wrong way. And people are now pursuing and making awareness in their life that, listen, I need to make sure that God is part of my life and part of my reality and part of my future. You see, Paul told one church that there's going to be a time at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. It's not an option at that point. When Jesus is revealed, every knee will bow. My question is, are you bowing, begging for mercy? Or are you bowing before your King? And that's a decision you make right now in this life. Bowing before your King is when you accept Jesus your Savior and you're buried with Him in baptism. Third point this morning, the Holy Spirit strengthens the inner man. In Ephesians chapter 3, I'll not read the whole text in the interest of time, but I want to highlight verses 16 and verse 19. To be strengthened with His might through His Spirit in the inner man, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Mark Twain is an interesting writer. You may have read Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn. I remember having to read the short stories that he wrote. The celebrated jumping frog of Calaveras County. I think he had to write a paper on that in school. So I don't remember that or not. The celebrated jumping frog. Do they teach those such classics as that today in school? That tell that you don't read the classics. The celebrated jumping frog, Calaveras County. Sorry, it's a short read. It's a good book. It's a good short story. But apparently, during his lifetime, he was quite popular as a humorist, as a speaker. But something got out that he had died. And there actually ran an obituary in a paper that Samuel Langhorne Clemens, also known Mark Twain. I got caught up with the fact there's a connection in Jamestown to it. I think that they say Mark Twain was conceived in Jamestown, so Tennessee, so born in Missouri. So that was the story. So they ran an obituary for him. The problem is he was still living. And so he later made a comment. He says, contrary to popular beliefs, I'm still alive. And so that became one of his things. Contrary to popular beliefs, I'm still alive. And I reference that because I think a lot of churches believe the Holy Spirit was something in the past. It's no longer a live, dynamic force in the church and the life of believers. And so contrary to popular opinion, I'm going to tell you the Holy Spirit is still alive. It's an active, dynamic force, seeking people, according to John, what Jesus told the woman at the well, seeking people to worship God in spirit and in truth. And it's really trying to help us grow and change and become more Christ-like, to be more like the image of Jesus every day of our life, to be more and more like Him. And so this is the goal. Churches today need more than attendance and activity. We need depth. It's good to have a good number. Don't get me wrong. Preachers love it. But we also need depth in believers. Showing up doesn't necessarily mean you can be productive. We've got a few chickens in the house, and they're laying really good right now. We're getting eggs. I feel like a rich man. Sometimes I go twice a day and get eggs. Okay. But you know, I go to chickens, feed chickens, around chickens a lot, but I get to be able to lay an egg. Just hanging around something's not going to make you one. You're going to have to be born into that, and you're going to have to cultivate that relationship. The Spirit empowers us victoriously to love deeply and to walk in holiness. God wants us to show up big in His life, in our life. But He wants to show up big in other people's lives too. He wants us to demonstrate His holiness in this life. To be a light. To be salt. To be the transforming agent in the life of people. There's a new phrase that's thrown out sometimes in evangelism called lifestyle evangelism. It's just, you're convincing other people who Jesus is and the importance of church is by how you live your life. How you conduct yourselves, not just on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Does what you say on Sunday live out rest of the week? And people are being brought to relationships with Jesus Christ because of how their neighbors and friends and family members are living their lives. Because they say, listen, this is legit stuff. It's not phony. It's authentic. It's the real thing. And so we understand that the Holy Spirit is about that. So we live transformed lives so that we might be the light for other people. The Holy Spirit calls the church to return to its first love. And I don't want to preach the same lesson twice because I did talk a lot about this last Sunday in the letter to the church of Ephesus about returning to your first love. And I believe that first love is a passionate relationship with Jesus Christ that goes beyond just being good or just beyond just trying to check off some things on the list, but is about more than that. In fact, in Revelation chapter 4, Jesus says to the church of Ephesus, this first church is the address is in the region. Nevertheless, after this against you that you left your first love. He lists all these things they're really, really, really good at. But he says, listen, you left your first love. And then in verse 7, he repeats this over and over and over again to the seven churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. If Jesus were to address us today, to the angel at the church at Netherland, write these things. What do you think the Spirit is telling you about our church? What do you think the Spirit is telling you about our church? The Holy Spirit is a collective experience. It's not just one person. It's not just the preachers, the teachers, the deacons, the elders. It's about everybody coming together to bring its part. You like honey? I like honey. Pierce, you going to have some honey this year? No. So people struggle to have honey in this part of the country. So really struggle. Mites and viruses and stuff just get it. But honey, you know, a teaspoon of honey is a life work of a bunch of bees. Just a small teaspoon of honey. It takes a whole bunch of bees their entire life produces one tiny teaspoon of honey and they're gone. But it's a collective effort that makes it sweet. It's a collective effort to make it productive. If we want to be a spiritually growing church in depth, and a spiritually growing church in number, and a spiritually growing church in love, in joy, in long-suffering, in patience, in goodness, in self-control, everybody needs to be a part of that. I know it's thrown around sometimes about the 80-20 principle. 20% people do 80% of the work. That should be a church. But we know there's numbers of people that you'd count on. If they're not here, you really something's wrong. Something's wrong. Linda, Sister Linda's being one of them. I mean, it would take something big to keep her from being here and being a part of things. You know, that's just the way it goes. But we always don't understand that the Holy Spirit is up to something. But it's possible to be doctrinally sound but spiritually dry. I think there's a lot of great places that do a lot of great teachings, speak the truth, share the Word of God, but yet there's just not much going on there spiritually. They're keeping house maybe, but not really growing like they should. It's possible to do church work and lose heart connection with Jesus Christ. Do it because I got to. What's your attitude like in doing it? Do you feel like God is using you or calling you to His special work? What the Spirit desires today, the same Spirit who filled the form of the Ephesian church is active today. It brings life, seals and secures us, strengthens our inner being, calls us back to our first love. Some of you know what that thing is. Some of you don't. That little white plastic box is a transistor radio. How many? You know, those are. I don't like going to antique stores now because all I see is my past. You know, it's like, wait a minute, that's not an antique. I guess maybe it is. So yeah. Those little radios, many were AM, some of them AM FM. You had a little switch like that, but that's how you listen to the radio. Okay, you didn't have little buttons or whatever. And there was a lot of static, and you worked really, really hard, you know. And what was really interesting, that sometimes you got it tuned in, and you laid it down, and what happened? Static again. You picked it up, and it came back in. You laid it down, and went. What happened? Remember that? Okay. And you didn't have to have tinfoil on your head either. Okay, so it just worked. You were the antenna. You were the antenna. And when you laid it down, it lost its signal because you were the antenna. The Holy Spirit's the same way. You are the antenna. And you have to tune it in. And you keep tuned in. And static and all these other things. get in the way of it. Maybe a front was coming through and you couldn't listen to the Chicago station on Saturday night to listen to Wolfman Jack, whatever you were listening to, or the Grand Ole Opry. Some of us were cornier than others. The Grand Ole Opry was probably my speed. But you were the antenna. You helped it come in. And when you set it aside, it didn't come in. But when you picked it up, it came back in. But you tuned and you tuned and you tuned. You know what I'm talking about, some of you. Some of you need to go play with transistor radio or build your own. That's the way with the Holy Spirit. You've got to be involved. You can't let the preacher do it. You can't let the elder do it. You can't let the, you've got to actually engage in it. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be an overpowering, unavoidable voice that you're going to hear. Sometimes it's small. Sometimes it comes in the most insignificant ways. Tammy and I have been married. We just had our 39th anniversary on the 15th, so she's put up with me for 39 years. She deserves a medal or something. We haven't been married long, and our preacher at the time, Brother Charles Lemons, he was having some health issues, and sometimes he had to travel to do gospel meetings and stuff as his health would permit. And he'd had a couple of training classes at church, and we did our little lessons and stuff. And one Sunday, the elder said, "You know, Brother Lemons is going to be out. Would you mind preaching?" And so I worked up a lesson called "The Man from Uz." You want to know who the man from Uz was? UZ? Anyone know? Anyone know who the man from Uz was? Job. He is from Uz. UZ. So I thought it was really clever. I taught a sermon on the man from Uz. It was probably 15, 20 minutes long. You probably wish I was still preaching 15 or 20 minutes. So I say, bring that one back out again. I still have it and had it written out in longhand and stuff. So I still have it somewhere in my collections. But visiting that day was a sister in Christ who was visiting her brother and sister-in-law, and she was visiting that day. She heard me preach. She was kind. I loved her family and stuff, and I loved her because of her. But her sister, her name was Sister Reuben L. Smith. That name seems familiar to some of you, some of you not. But she heard me preach that day. And sometime after that, another one was out a preacher. And her son, Dan, was going to church here with us. His brother Ron's here this morning. And Sister Nell told Dan I could preach a sermon. Dan and I had worked together, so you heard. Some of you, I'm sure, left an impression. You heard the sermon, "The Man from Uz," because that's the only sermon I had. So that was the first sermon I preached. That was "The Man from Uz." That was the only sermon I had. But because I let God use me and do things sometimes that I wasn't felt prepared for, I'm here today as your preacher. Later, when Sister Smith was in their nursing home in Fentress County, I was happened to be up there one day, and I was able to go and thank her for putting me on this path. You see, there may be someone you're sitting in church with today that may make your path different. But you got to be in relationship with people. You got to let people know and let people matter and encourage each other as we go through life together. So, are we allowing the Holy Spirit fill and lead our hearts in our church today? Are we trusting in His power and our plans and intentions? So, any ministry that we want to do, we need to also ask God to let His Spirit guide and direct that. And have we left our first love even while we're doing good? If you're here this morning, and you feel something, I can't explain it, but you're a conviction, you're an awareness, you're knowing, you just know that you need to make a public declaration of faith, to be buried within baptism. Everything's prepared. We're ready. If you're here this morning and you just listen, I've left the first love. I've lost my passion for Jesus. I just need to have that fire lit within me again. I need for the Holy Spirit to be more active, dynamic part of my life. we're here to pray with you or just need encouragement or maybe just to let people know what side you're on. If you're in your subject, Brother Ronnie's chosen a good song to lead us. If your subject, in which it comes, we stand and sing the song.